No.
Blog Talk Radio.
Weigh-In Sports Talk. Today is Wednesday, September 19th. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564. If you prefer not to talk, join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino. Lots of fun and interesting conversations going on there. Follow us on Twitter at Weigh-In Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host, Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special Wednesday night. 3 days till college football on Saturday. We have college action right now, Trey. I mean, they're starting the Wednesday night now. Just how long is it going to be before they start the Tuesday? And, if everyone can hear me.
Yes, Arvin. Sorry, I was having trouble hearing you there for a second.
Okay. Well, just thank Michelle for the intro. Wednesday night's our regular night. Last week we did a Thursday night as well. Probably won't do that again, but going to stick to Wednesday and Sunday. Trey, how's it going, man?
It's going well, man. It seems like we're right off into the college football season, which is where you and I love to be. Each week, more and more stories, Tarvin, and just hope that we get a lot of chatter today on the message room and folks obviously tweeting us today on Facebook and challenging us to our picks, Darvin, challenging us.
Well, I mean, it's like, it's long shots in the world. You can maybe upset both of us. It's going to be hard to beat both of us, Trey, in a pick'em like this. But, it can happen, Stranger things have happened.
Absolutely, and we picked 10 games that we feel are worth talking about, so we're not picking the 10, hardest games to pick. So come on, folks who are listening, weigh in and beat us. You should be able to go 10-0 in some of these games.
Exactly. And next Wednesday night, I put it out there, we have a special guest. He currently plays for the Cleveland Browns. He's a running back. He played at Texas. So we're going to have him on. I call him Obi. That's what I've always called him. Great running back. So excited that we get him on this show, Trey. Looking for next Wednesday night to be a huge show.
Yeah, and he was Ben Albemarle is a great running back, Tarvin. I mean, at college he was a star.
Chris.
So really, really interested in hearing from him, Tarvin.
His name's Chris.
Oh, sorry, Chris. Sorry, that's right, Chris.
Yeah, he is. He's I know who you're thinking about. You're thinking about Auburn's wide receiver, Ben Albemarle.
Yeah, sorry, I got my folks confused there.
Yeah, and this guy's a phenomenal running back. I mean, he plays right now. He's a second string behind Trent Richardson, so he is getting his carries. He's been a little dinged up, but he's kind enough to join us next Wednesday, and it's going to be a fun one. A lot going on in the sports world, Trey. Baseball's heating up right now. The Braves look good. Medlin's pitching lights out. I don't know. The Braves have really turned it on, Trey, since Medlin came back. He went in the bullpen, didn't he? And then he came in as a starter. So this guy has been lights out ever since joining the Braves rotation.
Yeah, this is what I was talking about, is how the difference. And these both guys had Tommy John surgery, both him and Strasburg, around the same time, Tarvin. And you saw two organizational approaches. And, the Braves approach looks pretty good right now. They've won Medlin's last 20 starts, Tarvin. The Braves have won every single one of them. Of course, Medlin hasn't won all those games, but the Braves have won 20 straight times that he started. So, you got to think that, if the Nationals go back and do it all over again, maybe you start the season with Strasburg in the bullpen, because you got to think that Medlin's the whole Medlin situation, the way the Braves have handled it and the way he's pitching into the postseason, looks pretty good for the Bravos.
Well, here's what you could do. If you like numbers like that, why don't you just start meddling every game, let him pitch the first inning, see how many they can go, you know, 20 in a row. It could be a World Series for the Braves, Trey.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know that it works that way, but, you know.
But everybody's used to seeing, myself included, the Braves collapse this time of year, but it's almost impossible to collapse now. They're going to get in the playoffs. It's just who they play first, Trey, and you know, how they are in postseason. I'm ready to see Chipper Jones last season to be something special.
Yeah, I think they're really playing for him this year. And to be honest, Carvin, Chipper Jones is playing like a guy who could play a few more years. I mean, he is just really all-around game is still there.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll touch on a little baseball in a few minutes, and I'm letting everybody get in the chat room. Welcome Bruce Calvert's in the house tonight, Brian Burgess, and the Mr. Longhorn himself, Chris Alderson, Corey Johnson, and Lacey Key. So they'll start piling in, you know, any moment. Takes people a few minutes to get in. Brian Burgess says, go Tigers, and he didn't mean Auburn Tigers. He means the LSU Tigers. So looks like we're well represented tonight, and we will do our pick'em in a few minutes, Trey. It's just we're going to let people get in. Jason's going to be our scorekeeper. He's going to keep up with all of our picks and put it on a spreadsheet for us to keep up, to keep us honest, Trey.
Well, yeah, Jason Humphrey?
No, Jason Minson.
Oh, Jason Minson. We got so many good Jasons that are on our show. You know, that's good to know, Tarvin, because, you know, I think that you need to be checked down. Now, Jason, I want you to watch Tarvin pretty well, because I feel like every time on Wednesday he tells me a pick, and then on Sunday he's texting me on the side and be like, I want to change my pick. So I'm glad that we're going to get this on paper, Tarvin.
The only thing I changed, the only time, was Georgia and Florida that week. Florida played A&M and Georgia, Missouri. I said, you know, towards game time, I said, I have a strong feeling, but I've already made the pick. It was too late. But, you know, feelings change close to game time. But once you make a pick on this show, it sticks. There's no going back. There's no changing your mind. It is what it is. So I'm going to have to man up and take my losses if I need to, you know.
There you go.
But, you know, there's a lot of games. And you know, we picked 10 college games. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on. This week, it's starting to get, you know, I think after this week, you'll start seeing more definition come out of who's going to win, how good these teams are. A lot of interesting matchups. I mean, there's some big matchups in college football this week. And one of the matchups I'm interested in seeing, and we're going to talk about it later, is the big ACC showdown with Clemson and Florida State. And, Trey, is there any chance these two teams play again in the championship game? I'm kind of lost in my division here. Can Florida State and Clemson rematch, or are they in the same division?
Same division, Tarvin.
Okay. Well, that's kind of tough because, you know, those are the two best teams in the conference right now. It just seems kind of, you know, wrong that they couldn't play again. Kind of like Southern Cal and Oregon, best teams in the Pac, or hold on, supposedly the best teams in the Pac-12 when the season started, but. Yeah, I'm interested to see this game. I know you're a big Florida State fan. I know you have doubts about this game, but we'll pick this after a while. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves, but that's a very interesting game. We have Michigan State, Notre Dame playing. Notre Dame and Michigan. It's a huge rivalry, and it's going to really be that game that really defines Notre Dame's season, I believe. But we got a lot to cover, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And then, you know, we got a little bit of NFL to talk about as well. So, you know, looking forward, there's some good NFL games this week, Tarvin. We picked out the five that we thought were the most intriguing, but, I mean, there's certainly other games out there that in the NFL that, you know, certainly very interested in myself.
Yeah, and then Lacey's asking in the chat room, is college game day going to be in Florida State Clemson game? It definitely, they'll be there. It's going to be a huge night game. Revenge for Florida State, but – you know, let's start in the NFL for a minute. Let's touch on the NFL. Some exciting games coming up this weekend, and I don't want to get in our picks. I'm trying to let people get in here, but our show's mainly a football show, Trey, so we got to keep going, you know?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we can start off with the NFL. I know most of our folks are interested in what we do with the college, but let's start off with Monday night. You know, that was after our Sunday show. All bets aside, Tarvin, what do you think of the Denver-Atlanta game? It was a very interesting game, a lot of really bad officiating, and just a terribly slow game in the first quarter.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about the officiating. It is bad at times, but these guys, you got to remember, came from college. They're doing different things. It's so hard to remember all the rules. They do the best they can, and they do have somebody to help check them up there, but there have been a lot of missed calls, and the thing that concerns me is the rulings, like a pass interference in the NFL on the offensive side is a 10-yard penalty, and they're granting 15 yards and things like that. That's the rulings I give no excuse for. You have to know the rules in that aspect of it. It slows the game down, and a lot of players, Trey, are saying it's questioning the integrity of the game. What do you think about that statement?
No, I'll be honest. It's not the fact that they're calling pass interference penalties because, I'm watching a lot of NFL and I see, a lot of calls, which I think are good. The problem, what I see, I think everyone's got a problem with, like, you said, hey, if you don't know the basic rules, then that's a problem. And if you're penalizing teams, the wrong yard, and there's some issues where they spotted the ball, completely, they didn't look at the play, Tarvin. It was just so far off. And there's been some issues of just really ineptitude, but it's not like it affects every game, but it certainly did seem to hit in the game that the NFL wouldn't want it to happen in, which is the Monday night game, where everyone's watching. It seemed to be really concentrated there, Tarvin, and that was the problem, I think, that a lot of folks are having, because everyone was watching that game, and you just saw some terrible, terrible calls from the officials that slowed down the game is the big thing. That first quarter, Tarvin, seemed like 3 hours long, and it was forever.
Yeah. Well, you remember, Trey, in the preseason when these officials came out initially, everybody was saying, hey, they're doing a decent job. But the problem was these guys are going half speed in preseason, and they're not really serious. So you can miss some calls, and the game's slower. Now they're on like Monday Night Football, that game was very fast. These officials, I think, are having trouble keeping up with the speed, just like players have trouble, adjusting to speed, difference between high school, college, NFL. The officials are going through the same thing, but the difference is the eyes are on these guys, and they are, people bet on games out there. People put money on these games, and to see officials just, mess this up, it's very frustrating for people, It slows the game down way too much. You're right. The other night, that first quarter seemed like a whole entire game. So I don't know. How long do you think it's going to be before the regular officials come back?
Well, I don't know, Tarvin. There's been no indication of anything of them coming back at all at this point. So, I don't know. And what really bothers me is, LeSean McCoy made a statement. And he said basically that one of the officials basically mentioned that he was on his fantasy team and he needed him to do well. And, that's the kind of integrity issues that you can't have officiating because, you can't have a referee coming in and saying, hey, McCoy, can you get me a couple touchdowns? It's a close game today for my fantasy team. That's just terrible, and who knows what was actually said, but I don't know why McCoy would make that up.
Well, I don't know if you heard, it was either the Saints-Panthers game or the Saints-Redskins game where the official, one of them, had to get removed because he was a big Saints fan. They posted pictures of this referee in his Saints gear outside the dome, Super Bowl, all this stuff, and they posted it on Goodell's Facebook page. And hey, this guy, why is he officiating against us? And Goodell had to come in and remove the official. He wasn't going to say anything that says, hey, I'm a big Saints fan, but yet I'm going to referee this Carolina, New Orleans game. So how many of these guys, regular Joes, we're all fans of someone. Who are these guys fans of? And that's scary as well.
Yeah, and what happened, Tarvin, was they found Saints postings on the referees. Facebook site, and then the NFL, once they found out about it, were like, you're no longer officiating this game. So, the more of that happens, and part of it is, Tarvin, simply that these guys haven't been vetted the way the normal referees and, you know, umpires and officiating crews have in the NFL to know. I mean, you can, if you're a little naive if you don't think that the regular NFL officials don't have allegiances. They do as well, but the NFL has vetted that out. And so, you know, certain officials don't referee or umpire games based on that. These guys need to be vetted, obviously, and that is, hasn't happened. And but, you know, the problem is you can't – I mean, what if this guy had officiated that game, and what if there was a controversial call, and then it comes out on Facebook, you know, this guy's a fan. You know, so you just – you can't have that kind of stuff happen. It can't happen.
Gray, it's human nature. It's just like Saturday night, you turn on the TV, and all of a sudden you see me in the white hat out there, Auburn LSU. You know, I mean, you know, I'm going to be looking at that offensive line very close when LSU has the ball. And I'm going to be throwing that flag if necessary. And that's just, you know, us being humans, not trying to cheat or anything, but we all see our the game through fans' eyes. And that's scary, too, because a lot of these guys, like you said, you can't be naive to think these regular officials do not have allegiances. Because every game you see it. But I guarantee you, if I was the official in the Auburn-LSU game, I would be picking Auburn that night for a big wager.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's hard. I mean, I work in a profession where you kind of have to, you know, set things aside. I mean, so, I mean, it can be done, but, you know, come on. Like, you'd rather just take that temptation away. I mean, and the NFL's got to be more wary of that happening. So, I mean, we'll see how long this goes on.
Yeah. And Brian Burgess is asking something in the chat room about McCoy, and he was asking us, did you see what he said?
No, what did he say?
I'm trying to, he says the McCoy thing he's asking, so I'm asking him a question.
Do we actually believe that that happened? Do we actually believe that, you know, that McCoy, the referee told that to McCoy? I don't know if I believe it or not. I mean, I don't know why McCoy would make it up. I mean, I really don't. What do you think, Carvin?
I don't think McCoy would lie about that. They probably were joking about it, said, hey, I have you on my fantasy team. But he probably was serious, but he was saying it, just try to warm up to the players a little bit. Because you know these guys feel very uncomfortable out there. I mean, they're being judged by everybody. Everybody hates these scabs, you know. They look at them with pure hate in their eyes, and the coaches just give them – everything. The players drop at them. They get no respect. So these guys are in very bad situations, but I commend them for doing the job they're doing. Sure, they're missing calls sometimes. So do the regular officials. But, I mean, that's a hard thing to do, what they're doing. So my hat's off to them. Those guys are doing a good job overall, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of games where there hasn't been official, you know, officiating issues. It's just, you know, like I said, it happened on Monday night and everybody was watching and, you know.
I just wondered how long it was going to take these guys to start, you know, getting noticed. People start losing games. They start getting serious about it. And so now you're going to see a lot of belly aching going on. But what did you think about the Falcons, Trey? What did you think about their performance? They were up 27-7, and then all of a sudden they go into the prevent against Peyton Manning. Not too smart of a thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those, you know, hey, we're going to play a defensive strategy that, you know, bends, doesn't break. I mean, it ends up working. But, you know, I got to say this about the Falcons, Tarvin. And this is, again, you know, we talked about their, you know, before the season, and there was some critics of the offense that was going to come out. And, you know, I was really, really a fan of what I thought they were going to do, and it seems to be working out. I mean, Roddy White last year had the most balls thrown his way, Tarvin, in the NFL. The most looks, and because of that, obviously, he gets attention. But Julio Jones is a way to he's able to take some of that attention away. He didn't put up the numbers in Monday night's game, but he still was able to take part of that defense away from Roddy White, who was able to have a big game. I just like the way this offense is going. Their defense has improved, Tarvin. You're right. I mean, I don't think it was a defensive, you know, meltdown on their part by giving up those yards to Peyton later on. It was just the fact they changed schemes. So, I really do like what the Falcons have together, and this looks like a team that could be really legit.
Yeah, they do, but, you know, the Falcons, they played good against Kansas City that first time, and you know, now they played at home. I'm interested to see, and I think they're one of our top five games in the NFL, Trey. The Falcons are on the road against the Chargers. So I think this will be a game that kind of makes or breaks the Falcons season, but gives us a little more insight of how good they're going to do this year. If they start out 3-0 and two of those wins are on the road, I'm going to buy into the Falcons. But if they come out, lay an egg like they normally do on the road against a team, then I'm going to say, okay, you know, they're the Falcons of old. So how much stock are you going to put into their game this weekend?
Well, I mean, we'll talk about a prediction for the San Diego game this week, but I mean, I was really impressed by the way they played out. I mean, I know it was at home. They play well at home, Tarvin. But the point is they beat a really good Denver team who just had beat Pittsburgh. I mean, you can't really deflate that win because it was at home or not give them credit for it. I mean, they were able to beat a really good Denver team who had just basically beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are really good. So I really like what they're doing right now.
Yeah, and, you know, Denver, too, you know, that extra day or that short week they played on, was it Monday night they played or Sunday night? It was Sunday night, so
yeah.
It was the same days off as the Falcons did. But I'm interested to see. I'm impressed with Peyton Manning, his first two games already. I think he's looking good. I still question their offensive line a little bit at Denver, but overall, Peyton Manning is doing better than I thought he would his first two games back. You know, he beats Pittsburgh his first game in, went on the road to Atlanta, a tough place to win. Falcons know how to play at home. So let's, if you want to, Trey, we'll get started and we don't run out of time tonight. Let me give the call-in number, 646-716-5564. We'll call in if you need to talk to us. Get on the chat room, and we're going to start making our predictions. And if you want to, you can start making yours. I do not see Jason anywhere, so we can get this party started. And if you want to go to Facebook and go to our Weigh In Sports Talk page, message board, make your predictions there if you want to. That'll be great, too. So, Trey, get us started, man.
Yeah, and just if you want to, and just to give you the rules and regs on our competition, so – basically, you know, we picked 5 games in the NFL and 10 in college. We picked these games on, you know, what we think are the best stories in football, or we think are, you know, something to watch for. I mean, they may not be the hardest games to pick. I mean, some of these are kind of easy, we think, but that's not the point. The point is you got to beat me and Tarvin at all 15 games, and if you do want to do that, you know, either post it to our Weigh In Sports Facebook account or give us a tweet on Twitter. We'll add it up by the next week. And if you beat it, both of us, you're going to come on our show and you're going to guest pick with us next week. So on the air live as we do it. So I don't know if another show, Tarvin, that guarantees a way for anybody who wants to come on the air. Just one simple thing they got to do, Tarvin. It's pretty cool.
And to put something on that, next Wednesday night could probably be our biggest show ever. It probably will, with an NFL running back, current NFL player coming on the show. We're recording his interview on here, so we're going to be staff-picked and featured. This could be one of our biggest shows, so if you want a little love and some airtime, you beat us, you'll be on the air Wednesday night with us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's our first game, Tarvin. And like I said, you got to post it to our Twitter account or our Facebook account, like the message board tonight. It's going to be hard for us to go back because there's no archive for us to go back and look at the message board on Blog Talk, but you got to post it there. So first game, Tarvin, NFL, the New York Giants, this is the game tomorrow night, Tarvin, are traveling to the Carolina Panthers. Both are 1-1, Tarvin. Eli, who you think is overrated, versus your boy. Who wins this game, Tarvin?
Well, this is a tough game. I mean, but this is a very tough game to pick. And looking at Carolina play Sunday against the Saints, they look very good on offense. It looks like they finally have something going in the right direction. The defense didn't look bad either. It started getting a little better. But if you notice, the Giants laid an egg against Dallas the first game, got down big to Tampa Bay last week and come back and beat them. So it was amazing they came back and won. So a 1-1 Giants team versus a 1-1 Panthers team, Thursday night game. And let me tell you something about Cam Newton, guys. He loves the stage. He loves the spotlight. I'm picking Carolina to win this game by 4 points. I think they get it done. Eli's going to get his, no doubt about it. The Carolina secondary, you know, is not the best in the world. But I think if Carolina can block the Giants' front four, this is a tough game to pick. So I'm going to have to go with my boys from Carolina. But, you know, it's going to be a close one there.
You know, a very interesting pick, Tarvin. You know, you kind of hit on some things that are important for the Giants. They're a little beat up, Tarvin. Hakeem Nicks is not going to play in this game. So, I mean, obviously Victor Cruz is a receiver who can hold his own, but the fact that Nicks isn't in there allows defenses to sort of just look at Cruz by himself. And I'm not sold on their third receiver who can come in and replace Hakeem Nicks, who's a stud. The Giants, both their games were at home. This is their first road game, Tarvin. That's another thing that you might want to consider for those of you who are listening, you know, talking about picking this game. You know, Cam Newton has looked really good for Carolina, Tarvin. They are 1-0 at home, and that their loss was on the road. Because I think Carolina's a little bit healthier, Tarvin, because they're at home, because the Giants are going on the road for the first time this season, and because Hakeem Nicks doesn't play, I'm going to go with Cam Newton and the Panthers to win this game, Tarvin.
Well, and look at it, too. I mean, Carolina, Trey, the receiver, Steve Smith, and now LaFell's coming in there. You know, the Giants remind me of an LSU-type defense. And if you remember when Cam Newton played them a couple years back, I mean, he can run the ball as well. That's going to give the Giants problems, especially on the road. And I think Cam Newton has a big day in the air and on the ground and surprises people if, you know, the way he's able to move the ball. Who did you pick again, Trey?
I know. You're so surprised that I picked Cam Newton and the Panthers to win the game.
I am, man. I was hoping I would get a leg up on you on that one.
And you know, just look at the message board, Tarvin. I'm looking at who people are picking, and hopefully you guys are going to go in and make the picks on our Facebook account or Twitter account so you can get credit for these picks for next week and maybe host the show if you beat us. You know, Lacey's got the Panthers. I saw that. Looks like Corey Johnson says, sadly, the Giants. So I'm trying to look at other folks. Cuervo, Panthers by 4. Chad Stevenson, Cam Newton says over the New York by 6. So, and a lot of people are talking about LaFell because he does look really good, Tarvin. He's one of the guys that I targeted in the very beginning of the season, that he's going to be a guy who contributes this year in a way that you haven't seen, especially for fantasy. So it looks like a lot of people want the Panthers to win, Tarvin. It's got to make you happy with your boy Cam Newton.
Yeah, and also it makes me a little nervous because usually the public, they're wrong in games like this. So hello to Cuervos out there. I do a little show with Cuervo on Saturday mornings. We do our college football predictions. Cuervo's a big Vols fan, so I know he's a little upset over the Florida game, but he'll be ready this weekend to go. So Corey said he's going to change his pick because we both think
he said he might, Harvin. He might. All right, moving on, Tarvin.
That sounds like something I do, Trey. That sounds like something I do. Right?
Yeah, if you were a politician, we'd call you a flip-flopper.
take us to game number 4.
Number 4, Tarvin, we got the Philadelphia Eagles. And by the way, they're going on the road to the Arizona Cardinals. And a lot of people, if you're not keeping up with football that closely in the NFL, you're saying, why is the Eagles game, you know, they're 2-0, they've struggled, but who cares about them going to the Cardinals? Well, Tarvin, the Cardinals were 2-0 as well, which there's only like 5 teams in the NFL that are 2-0, and the Cardinals were one of them. So what happens this weekend in Arizona?
Well, looking at this game, the Eagles impressed me the other day, and actually the first two games, they're the only team I know that's turned the ball over 9 times in 2 games and it's 2-0. So, you know, when Michael Vick, I don't think he can stay healthy for a season, but I do think he can stay healthy enough against Arizona. I think Philadelphia goes in this and wins pretty big, Trey. I just don't think Arizona's defense can stop the Eagles. It looks like they can score on anyone. You saw the Baltimore Ravens, probably one of the best defenses in the NFL, and Michael Vick did very well in the Eagles' offense. So I look for them to keep churning some yardage and points out. But if they protect the ball, Trey, I think they could run up 40 on these guys.
Wow, so you think the Eagles win walking away with it, huh?
Oh, definitely.
Well, you know, the interesting storylines here, you mentioned that the Eagles have turned the ball over 9 times, Tarvin, in the first two games. I don't think any team in history of the NFL turned the ball over 9 times in their first two games and actually won both games. So, I mean, if you're looking at this as an Eagle fan, Tarvin, you're either, like, really happy in the fact that, you know, you can win, turn the ball over 9 times, or it's concerning that your offense basically is sputtering. Tarvin, I look at it this way. I mean, if they can pull out wins against the teams that they faced, and by the way, Tarvin, both these weren't home games, so there wasn't any home cooking. One was at home, one was on the road. They turned the ball over 9 times and won both games. The Cardinals, of course, Tarvin, have played fantastic defense. I mean, their win over New England and the way they handled Tom Brady was incredible. They showed basically a weakness that they had exploited in the Patriots, which was if you take away, you know, Brady and go into those tight ends, and in the fourth quarter they started getting back into the tight ends, Brady looked real uncomfortable in that game. But Michael Vick isn't Tom Brady in a lot of ways, Tarvin, in a lot of ways. But the fact is Vick can move outside the pocket, and that was one of the great things about the Cardinals, that pass rush they had, is they were able to collapse the pocket and pressure Tom Brady in that game. So because Vick is going to be able to move a little bit, and because I don't think they continue that barrage of turning the ball over, Tarvin, I think the Eagles win this game. I don't think it's anywhere near what you're saying. I think it's going to be a pretty close game.
Well, I'm not saying by 40. I just said they could put up some points on them, you know.
Yeah, I think LeSean McCoy plays the difference here. They really haven't gone to McCoy, I don't think, as much as they really should. So I think the Eagles do win this game. As much as I'd like to disagree with you, Tarvin, I just think that they're not going to turn the ball over as much as they had. I mean, you can't keep that up.
Well, let me tell people something about the Cardinals, too. I mean, NFL football is a little different than college. I mean, a lot of people bet a lot of money on pro football games. And in my opinion, that's probably one of those games, Trey, that Vegas needed the Patriots just to lose, period. So that's probably what happened. I think the Cardinals will come back down to earth this weekend. So I have the Eagles. And right now, Trey, we're both on the same page after 2 games, which is not a good sign.
No, it's not. And, you know, the good thing about the Cardinals' defense so far this year, Tarvin, is through the first 2 games, they're 10th in the league against the rush. So, you know, it is going to be a challenge for the Eagles, but I do think LeSean McCoy has to have a big game. And, you know, the Cardinals have done well against the run this year. So we'll have to see, but I just can't see the Eagles struggling like they have in the first 2 weeks. As much as I dislike the Eagles personally, I can't see what they've done turning the ball over as much as they have. And I think they're going to come away with a win this week.
That's funny. You and Brian in the chat room are acting like Arizona's the Baltimore Ravens over here. They do have a decent defense. As far as saying good, very good, I have to disagree with that. I mean, they could be, but they're going to have to show me through a season, not just 1 game. So who do they play? They played Seattle the first game?
The Cardinals.
Beat them, right? Yeah, okay. So they're 2-0 right now. It's going to be interesting to see. If they can beat the Eagles and go 3-0 and 2 of their victories, the Eagles and the Patriots, I'm very impressed. So,
yeah, I mean, if they beat the Eagles, I mean, you're going to have a tough time not putting the Cardinals in the postseason because, I mean, they've certainly played, you know, decent competition to start the season off. I mean, you can't argue with their wins if they beat the Eagles this weekend.
Exactly. And I like the Cardinals okay. I like that team that nobody really gives credit to. So take us to game number 3.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll see. I think elimination of the Cardinals also, just to mention this, Tarvin, I think Colb is going to start turning the ball over. He hasn't really turned the ball over at all this season, and I just can't see that continuing. I just don't think he's that strong of a quarterback. Tarvin, our next game is going to be another 2-0 matchup, Tarvin, undefeated teams. The Atlanta Falcons, obviously we talked about a little bit, undefeated, 2-0, traveling to the San Diego Chargers, and they're undefeated as well. Both teams have looked pretty good, Tarvin, so what do you have on this game?
I'm a believer that the Falcons will turn back into the Falcons. I think the Chargers at home are good enough to get this game. You know, the Chargers have been a very good team, you know, in the past, and they've really disappointed in a couple of years. I look for Rivers, you know, to have a good game. I think, you know, the defense of the Chargers, I think sometimes they're better than what people give them credit for. And if they can put it together, they turn the ball over a lot, too, in the past. So I look for the Chargers to get it done at home, Trey, to give Falcons their first loss, and the Chargers start off 3-0.
You know, and one of the interesting things, Tarvin, about this is you know, I don't think this is going to affect the game, but what's going to be of Michael Turner and his DUI? I mean, and let me ask you this, Tarvin. He got the DUI 2 hours after the game concluded. So was, and I know this is a little off topic, but was he drinking in the locker room? I mean, how can you, I mean, if you look at if you look at the fact that once you get done with the game, you got to shower, get, you know, talk to your offensive coordinator, you know, just, I mean, you got to do things after the game. You just can't leave right after that. So, I mean, 2 hours. Do you think he was drunk leaving the stadium?
Probably. I bet the Falcons had one big celebration in the locker room after the game on a Monday night football game, which is not a good thing to do. That's a very good point you brought up, and I thought the same thing when I read it. I didn't know if he was in the locker room getting drunk, but I'm like, how did he get that fast? That game ended late. And again, you know, take a cab, guys. You make millions of dollars. A cab driver, they're right there waiting on you outside the stadium to take you to the bar you want to go to or and bring you back home.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to this with one of my buddies today. I just don't know why you know, these agents or these teams don't have basically this service available. Like, why is there not a guy on call 24/7 who would just come drive your car? I just don't understand it, Carvin. I just can't figure it out.
Again, Trey, $100,000 a year, and I told you, I'll go be the driver for anybody. You know, let me know, you know, your schedule, I'll be there. You don't have to worry about a DUI. I'll get the DUI for you. You don't have to worry about it.
You know, and here's my point for these. And if I'm a lawyer, and I've actually thought about going into sports law. And here's my pitch to the NFL and MLB, NBA. If you let me be your agent, I will have a guy on our payroll. He will be the guy to drive you when you're drunk, and he will possess everything that you don't want to, say, get caught possessing. I mean, think about that, Tarvin. The guy to your left, it's his weed, not mine. You will never have a player get in trouble under my agency because, I mean, all you got to do is pay a dude $60,000 a year, which is a decent salary for anybody, and this guy can be the fall guy for anything. He's the guy who's going to be at the club. Oh, who punched that girl? Oh, that was that guy. You know, who was drunk driving? Oh, it was that guy. Who got popped for, you know, driving and speeding through the red light and had the possession of marijuana? Oh, it was that guy. I just don't understand why these people don't have a guy with these folks at all times. I mean, because it's just so cheap when you consider how much these athletes are worth to these organizations. And, you know, I can't fathom it.
Well, Trey, for all of those charges that you just brought up, it would take more than $60,000 out of legal fees to get him out of all those. So maybe
well,
we need to go up a
different.
Little higher on the service. Maybe we need to go up a little bit on the price.
Well, we'll cover the legal fees as well.
Who took the prostitute home? That guy. You know,
exactly. So I look for my sports agency coming soon and with some good services for these NFL players. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't have a player get in trouble. But, you know, looking at the game, Tarvin, I think Michael Turner, you know, I think it's going to have to affect the team a little bit. I mean, I don't know if it affects the outcome. I haven't heard, and I've been watching, if they're going to actually suspend Turner for this game. It looks like no. And I know they're going away from Turner in the offense anyway, and they like Rodgers. The Falcons do, but he's a small scat back. And so I think for all those reasons, Tarvin, and the fact that the Falcons, I know they've won on the road already in Kansas City, but this is, you know, they're home at Atlanta. They got to fly out west. This is where the Chargers, you know, the Chargers were actually at home last week. They're not traveling. They really haven't played a great team yet. So we don't really know what the Chargers are made of. I mean, they were at Oakland, which is a close road trip, and then they're at home against Tennessee. But for those reasons, I look at the Falcons coming across the country. I think this is going to be a close loss for the Falcons, and I can't stand the fact that I'm agreeing with you on all three games, Tarvin. It's really eating me up inside.
So if you're a fantasy owner right now, do you start Michael Turner? I have him on my team. Do you start him, or do you go with another option if you have a decent one available?
Yeah, I think based on, you know, Turner, I think he had a touchdown this past week, Tarvin. So he had a decent amount of fantasy points. He hasn't run for over 100 yards yet. I would expect if you're a Turner owner that you should look at other options long term anyway, because I don't see him as a guy who's getting more involved with the offense. I see him as a guy week in, week out who's getting less involved with the offense because they're throwing more. And even in situations, Tarvin, it looks like they like the little scat back in Rodgers, and he's a good special teams player, and it looks like they're using him more and more as in a running back you know, as well. So I think Turner's going to get less and less carries. He's older anyway, so I'd look to, you know, maybe getting another option.
Well, and also we're forgetting one thing about Michael Turner. He used to play for the Chargers, and he'll have a little bit more fire in those legs and in that, you know, his determination to play that team he used to play for. And he was a backup there behind LaDainian Tomlinson. You can't hold your head down for that. LT was the man in San Diego. So you think that impacts his decision or his performance a little bit, Trey?
Well, I mean, I think it will. But, I mean, whether he gets the carries to get over 100 yards is going to be different. I mean, I don't think Michael Turner – I mean, the Chargers aren't exactly a quick team. So, I mean, I don't know if Turner can pull away from the secondary with his legs. But, you know, I just don't see him getting the carries to have 100 yards rushing in this game because the Falcons may not be leading in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's going to be a close game. I mean, I think either way. So I just don't see them giving him the rock, you know, in the fourth quarter to give him the carries to get him over that.
Yep, so we both picked the Chargers, so let's go to game two.
So moving up, Harvin, I'm going to hopefully not agree with you on this game because this is getting ridiculous. You know, the New England Patriots that we just talked about, you know, they lost last week. They got trapped in the desert. They're 1-1, and they're going, you know, into Baltimore, Harvin, and they got, you know, they didn't beat the Eagles with all those turnovers, and so, you know, we had the Flacco of week one and the Flacco of week two. So what happens in Baltimore?
Okay, on the Baltimore game, look, Baltimore, to me, I was very impressed with their performance against the Eagles the other day. And get them back home, you know, playing. I think, you know, Tom Brady's going to start out 1-2, Trey. I think that the Patriots will lose this game. I think Baltimore's defense gives problems for quarterbacks and offenses like the Patriots. I mean, they hit you hard every down. They bring blitzes. They can get pressure with their front four. And Ray Rice, Trey, I mean, having him on your team at home to be able to run the football. Now, I know New England's defense is pretty good. You know, I understand that. But Ray Rice is a beast. I wish he could play on the Falcons and have somebody like that. I think the Ravens will be in that AFC championship game again this year probably. So I'm going to pick them to win at home. I just think they're a better team at home than the Patriots.
Wow, I mean, I think that's I think it's a pretty bold prediction, Tarvin, considering the fact that the Patriots did lose this past week. I mean, I don't know, you know, and usually I'm the stat guy, Tarvin, but I can't tell you when the last time the Patriots lost two games. If you happen to know, tell us in the chat room. But I mean,
Sunday.
It would be
that's when it's going to happen.
Well, before Sunday, Tarvin. I think that you know, this would be a ginormous. Just, I mean, I can't imagine the press in Boston if this does happen. The one thing, I don't know if Deion Branch plays this weekend, but he was signed by the New England Patriots this week. And, you know, Tom Brady likes Deion Branch. He's a good third down receiver. But, you know, for the Patriots, my concern is this. Wes Welker, who has gotten less and less looks, and last week I know he had 90 yards receiving, but he seems to not be in the Patriots' game plan, which is very odd considering how important he's been to Tom Brady throughout the entire relationship of Brady and Welker, and it, I don't know if it's because of the contract negotiations, if Bob Kraft has sent something down. I can't imagine that would even get down to that level, especially given that Belichick is the kind of guy who does what he wants. But there's definitely a disconnect in Welker. I mean, they're using Edelman even more in sets that usually Welker was in. And I don't know if that means that the Patriots offense, Tarvin, is lame this year in some sort of way because if they're trying to move Welker out or they just don't have confidence in Welker for some random reason. But I think you're right, and there's a problem with the Patriots this year in offense. They haven't seemed to figure out. But I think they're going to figure it out this week, Tarvin. I can't imagine the Patriots losing. They're a good road team. Tom Brady is a good preparer. I think that this is going to be a high-scoring affair. I think we're going to see a lot of points from both teams, Tarvin. But in the end, I think the Patriots do win this game on the road in Baltimore. And we'll be talking next week about if, you know, Flacco is the quarterback who needs all the money. But I think you'll have a good game, Tarvin, but I'm gonna pick against you and go with the Patriots on the road.
Well, who was it? And the Brian Burgess says in the chat room about Flacco's having an amazing year, and I have to admit that it's true. I mean, I'm not a Flacco fan, but I've been impressed. I told you that Sunday. I'm very impressed with Flacco, the way he's a perfect quarterback for that offense. But I will agree with you on one thing, Trey. It's going to be a high-scoring game. I don't, you know, you think of Baltimore, New England, you think of defense, but this game, it has to have a scoring aspect to it. I think it's going to be a shootout in a way for these two teams, so to speak. So I think Aaron Hernandez is out as well, right, for the Patriots? tight end. The other option Tom Brady likes.
Yeah, they signed Kellen Winslow, so I don't know, you know, how much of the offense he's going to know, Tarvin, or how much he's going to play. You know, Kellen Winslow is obviously a pretty good tight end, but you know, he's got a lot of offense to learn. As you know, we heard from Chad Ochocinco, who couldn't learn the offense for almost the entire season last year. So we'll have to see how quickly he gets on board. Looks like Brian Burgess told us that he believes in 2009 was the last time they lost two games in a row.
Thank you for that, Brian. I love people being able to put stuff on the chat room for us.
Absolutely. And looks like looking at the people in the chat room, Cuervo says New England for sure. Brian Burgess says Baltimore. Corey says Pats. I like the Ravens, but the Pats don't lose two in a row. So this is going to be, you know, even the guys in the chat room, you know, all over the place in this game, Tarvin. Very tough game to pick.
Not too tough for me, man. I feel good about it.
All right. We'll see how good you feel on Sunday when you're texting me.
Hey, I won't change my mind again, Trey. It's a Sunday night. Tom Brady's back. Hey, Trey, I know this game's not on the board, so I just want to ask you, you know, with Cutler and the Bears playing, you know, the way he pushed his own player the other day, his lineman getting on him, do the Bears rebound at home against the Rams? It's not in our pick list, so don't worry about that, guys.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, Carver, the Rams really impressed me last week. They should have had a chance to lose that game if it wasn't for a Josh Morgan idiotic play. I don't know if you saw that play, but the Rams played really tough last week. They actually played tough both weeks. I think the Cutler and the Bears are going to solve it. I'll tell you, I don't have a problem with what Cutler did. He was sacked like 120 times in that game. I mean, at some point, and I don't know if there was an SI article, and it was I'll have to tell the story. It was like a joke article. And it goes up to this apartment. So Cutler's on the bus, and he tells the bus driver to stop at Walmart, and he goes and gets all his offensive line a bunch of Casio wristwatches. And the offensive linemen are like, wow, Jay, this is so nice of you, man. And I've never had anybody buy me anything. And Jay's like, man, you guys are idiots. This is a sarcastic gift. You guys suck. And the offensive line's like, I don't know what you're talking about, man. Rolexes are overrated. So, I mean, that's kind of the sarcasm that I think is going on here. I mean, Jay Cutler has a right to be angry. I mean, he got sacked like a madman last week. I mean, he spent, almost half the game on his back. So, I don't have a problem with Cutler getting – I mean, obviously you don't want him pushing match, but I don't have a problem with Cutler getting in these guys' face and saying, hey, man, learn your assignment. Block somebody. It's your job, man. Keep me upright.
Yeah, and also I heard a conversation between Clay Matthews and Cutler – after a sack.
You gonna do something or just stand there and bleed?
I love Cutler taking a beating, man. It was awesome. And so, you know, he run his mouth all week, you know, just talking, you know, trash about Green Bay, and that's what happened. Just keep your mouth shut, Cutler, and hopefully you can stand up when you throw from now on. So I just wanted to get your opinion on that game before we moved on.
I think Brandon Marshall called, and he says that the game went differently in Madden. He was referring to a Madden game that he was going to catch all those yards against the Packers.
I told you not to star him on your fantasy team, man.
I bit me.
I got a call from Trey, guys. I get a text message from Trey during that game, and it says, Brian, can I – what's up, Wes Welker for Brandon Marshall? I'm like, what's wrong with Brandon Marshall playing? No, he's not. He's not playing at all, you know.
And I will note that I was very accurate with my words. Brandon Marshall was not playing that game. So
exactly. Yeah, I was looking for the injury report or something, but he was just out there standing around. He didn't catch a ball until late in the game. So
yeah, man, he sucked it up for me. And by the way, we should let everybody know that you did beat me last week, so – you have that going for you.
It was close, man. It was close. I had to get my first win of the year. When's the last time Wes Kanan started 0-2? Oh, right. That was last year. My bad.
Last year. All right, Tarvin. Go on to our number one game, Tarvin. So, number one game. And this is a number 2-0 Houston going at on the road against Denver, who just lost on Monday night. So, do the Texans start 3-0 for the first time?
I think they do. I have Texans going to the Super Bowl this year. It was a preseason prediction, so I'm going to stand by them in this game. But going on the road to Denver, it's going to be a tough game. But I think, you know, Denver's still going to take, it's going to take a little time to work some of their kinks out. Houston is very explosive on the offensive side of the ball, not too bad on the defensive side of the ball either. I think the Texans defense keeps Peyton Manning in check, and I think they get out of here with a field goal win on the road.
Well, Tarvin, yeah, I'm looking at Houston. They played one game on the road, one at home. They've outscored their opponents 57-17, so they've been a complete ball club through 2 weeks. We haven't seen them play, you know, the competition yet. We haven't seen them play a playoff team, really. Denver obviously has played two really good teams, and their schedule has been tough, Pittsburgh and then Atlanta. So, you know, Peyton Manning, he had really trouble throwing the deep ball so far this season, Tarvin. He hasn't completed a pass over 20 yards down the field, and he's throwing three interceptions. So we still haven't seen the arm strength that we all want to see out of Peyton Manning if he's going to have a good year. I agree with you, Tarvin. I really think the Texans team is solid. I mean, not only do you have Arian Foster, but if he even, you know, tweaks anything, then you got Tate who comes in, and he is just as good at times, it seems. So I like Houston. They have a balanced offense. Andre Johnson is obviously a beast. Matt Schaub is such an underrated quarterback. People don't talk about Matt Schaub as an elite quarterback, but if you look at his numbers, Tarvin, this guy puts up numbers. So I think the Texans win this game. I think it's going to be real close. And I think this is a statement game that puts the Texans on a lot of people's radar, Tarvin. I see your Ben Tate question, Tarvin.
Hey, a little trivia question tonight out there for everyone. Where did Ben Tate play his college football? The first caller in gets a free T-shirt that says, "I hate Trey" on it. It'll be the first caller in. I'll be selling those T-shirts this weekend when I beat you again.
Well, I think people already answered your question, Tarvin.
Okay. Well, Lacey gets the free T-shirt. Lacey, put your address on the chat room, and we'll mail you that T-shirt.
Well, I think Corey kind of answered it first. He said, "I wish Auburn still had Tate." But I don't know if you're going to count that, so you may have two shirts.
Well, Corey already has that shirt. I gave him one you know, a few weeks ago when I saw him at the Auburn-Clemson game. So he already has that T-shirt.
All right, Tarvin. Well, are you ready to move on to some college football, Tarvin?
Man, I've been ready for about an hour. So we're there. It's almost 9 o'clock, so let's do this.
So, Tarvin, our 10, some of these games, Tarvin, they're going to be give me's, but, you know, there's some really interesting things that we should talk about, especially with the number 10 game. The ACC, Maryland, who has, they're 2-1 this year. How they've won two games, like Major League Baseball. How do we win two? I don't know. And then they're traveling on the road to the number 8 team in the country, West Virginia. Let me tell you something about West Virginia, Tarvin. They have a guy by the name of Geno Smith on that team, and I have him picked as my Heisman frontrunner right now. Let me give you a stat, Tarvin. He has, I think, 8 incompletions this year and 10 touchdowns. How incredible is that?
That's pretty good, man.
My kind of team, Charlie. It's my kind of team.
The Maryland, man. This could be a matchup of the ugliest uniforms in college football going at it as well.
Yeah, this game is going to get ugly, Tarvin.
Yeah, you know, Maryland averages 148 yards a game passing. I mean, 108th in the country. West Virginia, 386, second in the country. And then you look at rushing offense, West Virginia 226 and Maryland 110. I mean, the defensive side of the ball, you know, especially the pass defense, Maryland, but I don't care. Maryland hasn't played what they're about to play. Trey, this game gets ugly. West Virginia, big.
I completely agree, Tarvin. This is going to be another Geno Smith show. It's going to be an embarrassment for the ACC again. The ACC got embarrassed last week. I think they lost 3 games to, like, the Big East. Just ridiculous. So I think this is, again, and the ACC is going to get embarrassed on the road, and West Virginia is just gonna blow them out.
Yeah, West Virginia is a 27.5-point favorite. And, you know, that's our 27-point favorite right now. It's moved to. I just don't think Maryland can keep it within that. I know people, you know, when they bet, if they try to bet against these good teams, hoping they'll have a week off, maybe take it easy on these teams. But I think West Virginia, Trey, is one of those teams that can get it done week in and week out. It's just so hard to stop Geno, man. I'm very high on this team. Their defense leaves, you know, they worry me when we start getting into crunch time talking about beating Alabama or LSU or Florida State. But this West Virginia team is very good.
Yeah, I mean, this is the team that you and I are both on the bandwagon to go up into the top five. You and I both have West Virginia in our top five. So, you know, I think they're going to get – people are going to continue to see that, Tarvin. And Geno Smith is going to continue to put up monster numbers.
And you know, that bowl game against Clemson last year just kind of carried over. I remember Geno Smith struggling his first year and looked like he was confused. You watched him play against Clemson last year, you realize this West Virginia team's serious. And Dana Holgorsen's got to play him, man. That offense is clicking. If they can ever find out how to play defense, they're going to be in trouble. Other teams are going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. This team is good.
Yep, and what's their – so we're both picking West Virginia, and I think everybody in the country besides the Maryland fans is going to pick West Virginia to win this game. So let's move on to number nine, Trey.
Number nine, Carmen, again, the ACC going on the road to the Big 12. Virginia, again, they're 2-1 this year. They beat the Penn State Nittany Lions, and they're traveling on the road against number 17, TCU, who is 2-0. And just so you know, Tarvin, before you pick, I don't know if you know this, but running back Waymon James is out for the rest of the year for TCU. Does his injury affect this game, and does his injury affect TCU from beating Virginia?
Well, I saw Virginia almost lose to Penn State. They would have lost at home to Penn State if Penn State had a kicker on scholarship that didn't lead the team. They had, I think, the drum major out there kicking field goals trying to beat Virginia. So, and then they went to Georgia Tech and just got beat down by Georgia Tech. So it's 2-1 Virginia. They should be 1-2 right now. TCU 2-0 at home. I just think Gary Patterson is a good coach. I think TCU is down a little bit this year. Of course, they lost a lot, but their defense is still good. I think it's enough to get out of there with at least a 3-touchdown victory.
You know, I think I seem to be on the same page as Joshua Shaw on the message board. He says TCU wins a tight one, as Corso says, closer than the experts think. I think everybody on the board so far, Lacey, Chris, or Brian, and Corey, all picking TCU. I think this game is going to be a lower-scoring affair, Tarvin. I don't know that TCU, without their running back, they're going to figure out an identity in this game. You're right, Virginia struggled when they shouldn't have struggled against Penn State. And that kicker for Penn State, Tarvin, reminded me of the video from the old movie The Waterboy, of watching the Michigan Cowboy run across the field and get leveled. Like, I felt the same way watching this kicker. Like, who is this guy? It looks like me on the field walking out after eating a couple hot dogs and drinking 3 beers and being like, all right, coach, I got this. So I think that the TCU wins this game, Tarvin. I do like TCU's team. I think they're well coached. Virginia is just not ready yet to win a game like this on the road.
Well, speaking of kickers, I remember Tennessee went to a frat house and got some guys drinking beer, got him out to play the game. I think he made 3 or 4 extra points in a field goal. So maybe Virginia, or, you know, maybe that's who Penn State needs, Trey.
Maybe so.
All right, TCU, you say close. I say by probably 2-3 touchdowns, so I'm not saying close, Trey.
Well, we'll see. We both have TCU winning. We'll see how much that running back losing is going to affect them.
All right, let's move to their Thursday night game.
The Thursday night game, Tarvin, BYU, who's 2-1, they lost the game to a lot of folks. They were ranked before. Sorry, Corey said that the Penn State needed a kicker from the replacement. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
BYU lost to Utah, who they shouldn't have lost to last week. I think they were a favorite in that game. They lose to their rival Utah, Tarvin. So they're now 2-1. They're going on the road against favorite number 24, Boise State, who's 1-1. What do you think? Are the Broncos, are they going to win this?
Well, this is a tough game, and I'll tell you why. Boise is very hard to beat at home, but I also saw Michigan State beat Boise, and I think Michigan State was a little overrated after we watched them play Notre Dame the other night. BYU coming off of a loss. I think Boise had the week off last week to prepare. I think Boise gets it done at home, Trey. I don't know about BYU's offense really to be able to put points up on the road against a Peterson coach defense. So I'm going to say Boise State by a touchdown.
Yeah, I think on the blue carpet, it's kind of tough to pick against Boise. I mean, they are really I like the way they're coached. And I do think that they're going to – that they had a couple of weeks to figure out some of their struggles. I mean, their quarterback played atrociously against Michigan State. It was a battle of whose quarterback could play worse. And it was the Broncos. So I think that he's going to have a little bit more experience. You know, Peterson's going to help him get prepared. I mean, this guy knows how to coach. I have a tough time picking against them on the blue carpet. I don't think it's going to be a walk-away giant game. They're always tricky for the Broncos. They always seem to struggle in these games. But I think they win this game. And hopefully it doesn't come down to a kicker, because we know how they are with kickers, Tarvin.
Yeah, and I just think Boise at home is probably one of the biggest home field advantages out there. They play so well there. The crowd's electric. I've always wanted to go to a game up there. But I think one team that can play up there is BYU. They're familiar with Boise. They're a disciplined team, not a bad defense. So this is not your normal Boise State program, Trey, but they are good enough to get it done at home.
Yeah, Chris Alderson has Boise winning. Corey says Boise in a close one. Brian says BSU. Joshua Shaw says Boise State over BYU by a couple scores. It looks like everyone thinks that the Broncos are going to get it done at home.
All right. Well, let's move on to a little SEC battle.
Yeah, Carmen, this one might get a little different of opinion. 2-1 Missouri. And we know they lost to Georgia. They're on the road, Tarvin. They get a little road loving in the SEC against number 7, 3-0 South Carolina. And I hear that Connor Shaw has been cleared to play in this game, or is very close to being cleared to play in this game. So can the Gamecocks win with or without Connor Shaw? I mean, because it looks like he may play, but if he takes one more crunch, I mean, we'll see. So what do you think?
Well, see, after seeing Connor Shaw take the hits and looking at him coming off the field, I don't see how he's going to play, Trey. I just don't see how. Maybe Spurrier is saying that because, you know, in college you don't really have to be honest with what's going on, Trey. You don't have to tell the truth about your injuries. But I just don't see him being able to play much. If he might start, hand the ball off, and let the backup come in. But I think South Carolina at home with their defense is good enough to get this game. And Missouri's a good team. They can spread you out. Their quarterback's back. The running back is out of the game, though, Trey. The starting running back for Missouri is out. So it's going to be interesting to see. I'm going to pick Carolina by a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, Tarvin, here's the thing. And we talked about this during the Georgia game when I talked about Georgia winning that game. I don't buy, and I picked against Missouri last week, and I know they got me, when Arizona State came into Missouri. I still don't buy Missouri as a viable SEC team, and I don't think now that they're getting into the schedule they're going to be all that competitive. So I don't know. I agree with you, Tarvin. You know, the old ball coach was known at Florida for pulling really kind of antics and sort of misdeeds and misstatements about his players playing, who is playing, who's not playing. So whether Connor Shaw plays or not, I'm not sure it's going to be important in this game. If I'm the old ball coach, I may not put him out there this week because I think they're going to beat Missouri just fine without him. I think this is going to be a game by 2 touchdowns, Tarvin. I don't think the Gamecocks have any problem with Missouri. Looks like the people on the message board, Tarvin, as well. I don't see no one picked Missouri, so all South Carolina from there as well.
Okay. Move on.
All right, Tarvin. It's our number 6 game. This is a Pac-12 game of unbeaten. 1-0 Oregon State, and we know that they beat Wisconsin, which, well, Tarvin, does that really mean anything anymore? And they're going on the road against number 19, 3-0, UCLA. What do you have on this one?
Well, I mean, the home field advantage in this, I think UCLA's a little better than what we all gave them credit for. Oregon State, they've only played one game so far. What are they at, two bye weeks?
Yeah, I don't know what their deal is, Tarvin.
Yeah, I look for UCLA. You know, looking at their pass defense, I mean, they're giving up 200 yards a game, and Oregon State, you know, they only played one game, and they had 276 against Wisconsin, which Wisconsin's pass defense is not great. But my question is, can Oregon State run the football, Trey? And that's where I think they can. I think they can run the ball on UCLA. UCLA's giving up about 200 yards a game on the ground. But they're home. They're wishy-washy in this game. So, God, this is a tough one to pick. I'm going to pick UCLA by a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, Oregon State, I'll be honest, I heard, you know, I don't make much of the Wisconsin win given the fact that they struggled against, you know, an FCS school and they struggled. I mean, they should have lost to Utah State last week. Utah State had got pretty much robbed by a really terrible officiating call, which proves that it can happen anywhere. But I just don't make much of that win because of that, because Wisconsin could easily be over right now. Now, UCLA, on the other hand, they won at Rice. They gave up 24 points and like 160 yards rushing. The Nebraska game was probably closer than it should, given how terrible, you know, Nebraska. I know we've trashed Taylor Martinez before, but it looked decent at Houston, Tarvin. I know Houston kind of had their struggles as well. So, but this is another home game. They've been home for two in a row, Tarvin. I like UCLA in this game. I think they're going to win this game, and I think it'll be by a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a good game, and I think, you know, they have some confidence in UCLA now. And especially, you know, it always gives you an extra boost when you see your nemesis, your rival lose, as Southern Cal did on Saturday night. So I look for UCLA to come out with a little swagger, thinking that, you know, they could possibly be the best team in this conference. So I like them, too. I don't know about two touchdowns, but it could be close to that.
And just Brian Burgess says that we're all going to think he's crazy, but he thinks UCLA may be the best team in Southern California. What do you think about that?
Hey, I mean, he could be right, man. It's good to say. Watching Southern Cal play the other night, their offensive line is garbage. So I'm with you, man.
Oh, and hey, Corey Johnson, thanks for the heads up. He says that Oregon State's first game was rescheduled because of the hurricane. So that answers our question of why they've only played one game, Tarvin.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. I didn't realize that. I didn't think of that because you wouldn't think of a hurricane. They must have been playing somebody down south. So thanks for the info.
I think if I'm right, Corey, so you can tell us on the message board if we're wrong on that
No, I know La Tech was playing Texas A&M, so that one got rescheduled. So it might have been Southern Miss or someone like that. That could have been that. But let's move on to the next one, Beth.
Well, Tarvin, I know this one's one that you have a lot to say. So this is the number 2, 3-0 Tigers of LSU coming into 1-2 Auburn.
Wow. Oh,
yeah.
Well, you know, I've watched Auburn play very close for three games, and, you know, they look bad. That's all I can say about the way they've looked. Defensively, it concerns me. Looking at their defense, though, you know, they're giving up 225 yards a game in the air, 175 on the ground, which is surprising. I think it should be lower than that. So the defense is what worries me. The best thing about this game is it's a night game in Jordan-Hare Stadium. Auburn's 1-2. Nobody's giving them a chance. So picking this game, you know, looking at it, the key to the Auburn's victory in this game is, first of all, they have to have some turnovers, of course. That's a given. But they also need to get off to a fast start against LSU. You know, LSU's quarterback, Trey, has never played a road game. He's never played anybody, really, since they're 3-0, but they played three nobodies. So I'm interested to see the matchup. Auburn's defense comes out with some fire, Trey, and they get out early, hopefully, on LSU. Kyle Frazier must have a good game. This can't be trying to run the ball up the middle. If I'm Auburn, I'm coming out in a spread, Trey. I'm looking to throw the ball, spread these big guys out for LSU. and let the receivers Auburn has, which they have a lot of receivers with a lot of speed, make some plays. You don't want to try to run smash mouth football against LSU with a 170-pound running back. So look for Auburn to mix it up, to give it all they have. But at the end, I don't know if they can pull out a win over LSU. From what I've seen the first three games, Trey, I can't see them winning. But you know what? College football is crazy in the month of September. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm picking the Auburn Tigers to upset the LSU Tigers. Right
oh,
now,
wow.
on the air, I'm saying it. I'm saying it right now for everybody to hear.
Wow. Let's see what the message board has to say about that. I wonder. By the way, Joshua Shaw, thank you. He said Nicholls State was the team that Oregon State was scheduled to play. So thanks for that. I always appreciate the chat room getting us right here. But Tarvin, first of all, I can't believe I'm saying this, but not so fast. We've talked about Auburn struggles. I picked them the first two weeks, Tarvin, and they bit me. They finally beat Louisiana Monroe, but barely last week to get me on the board for an Auburn win. I can't see, and I've had a chance to actually watch Auburn because they've been on TV with the Mississippi State and the Clemson game to watch them play, Tarvin. You're right. I know that I have my question marks for Metzenberger or whatever his name is for LSU. I can never pronounce that kid's name.
You got it right.
I have questions about him, and he got rattled. And I can't remember the game. I saw him get crunched, and then he kind of played pretty shaky the rest of that game. I think it was – I can't remember which game it really was. But it was the first game. The fact is Auburn is going to put him on the ground. I mean, they have a pretty good defensive rusher in Lemon Air. I got his name right, too. But and so I think they're going to hit him, Tarvin, but it's going to really be determined. I mean, you're right. This could be closer than a lot of people think. I don't think this is a 21-point game. But I do think that LSU wins this by a couple of scores. I think that we're going to get to see how good this kid is for LSU, if at all, because I think Auburn will hit him in this game and are going to shake him a little bit. So, I mean, I don't think that – I mean, obviously Auburn has had a lot of struggles on defense, but it's been with tackling and off the running game, Tarvin.
I'm picking Auburn. I'm an Auburn fan. I'm having fun. But, a lot of things, the stars have to align for Auburn, Trey. They have to come out and play like the talent they have. Linebacker position, Trey, is what scares me in this game. How is Auburn going to tackle LSU's guys, the running backs and the big guys, and block all night when they couldn't even do it against State or Clemson, really? So, as an Auburn fan, Trey, I'm worried. I don't want to pick against my team, so I'm going to pick Auburn in this game. I mean, honestly, if I was putting money on this game, it would be with LSU, of course. But looking at it, if Auburn comes out and finally puts together a game and Kyle Frazier looked better from week two to week three, I know it was against Louisiana Monroe. I'm just saying that things can happen at night on the road in the SEC, especially when you're playing a team that's backs against the wall, and that all they heard last year was they're soft and they're hearing it this year. So I look for them to play with purpose. This game will be close for the first half at least, Trey.
Yeah, I think it'll be close at first, Tarvin. I really do think that LSU is going to keep the ball on the ground. Brian Burgess, I agree with his comment. He said they won't be throwing the ball much because LSU is going to run the ball a lot. I think that's going to be the key to LSU winning because, that's been the real weakness in Auburn is stopping the run. They can't seem to wrap anybody up. So
yeah.
I think LSU wins. I don't know if they're going to cover. I think the spread's 21, Tarvin. Is that right?
Yeah, it's 20.5.
20.5. I don't know if they cover. I think it's going to be about a 17-point game. I think yeah, the spread will probably come down a little bit. But – I do think LSU wins this game. I think in the fourth quarter it won't be all that close.
Well, Auburn's going to have to make Mettenberger throw the ball when Auburn wants him to throw the ball. If he's throwing on first down, we're in trouble. So Auburn's going to have to crowd the line of scrimmage early in this game and commit to stopping the run of LSU until Mettenberger shows that he can beat them in the air, Trey. And he might can, but I wouldn't let LSU just man up and run down my throat at home. I'm going to stop that. If I'm going to get beat, it's not going to be them rushing 300 yards. If you remember 2 years ago, Auburn ran with Cam Newton, of course, not Kyle Frazier, but they ran for like 400 yards on LSU. So kind of go back to that game plan, spreading LSU out, Trey. Do you agree that Auburn had to change their offensive scheme in this game in order to have a shot?
I think so, Tarvin. We need to see a little bit more innovation on offense. At times, they seem to just be extremely predictable.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, it's going to be a tough game. I think if this is a close game, I think Auburn wins it. And I can see Auburn getting blown out as well, looking at the way they played, you know, the first three games. I mean, something has to change, and it has to change now. And I would like to see it respectable. I mean, if Auburn comes out, Trey, and it's a 24-17 game and they lose, I can deal with that. But I'm not going to be able to deal with them quitting during the game, not tackling, just with their heads down. Go out there and play for four quarters and let it happen. Whatever happens, let it happen. But give it your all when you're out there.
Yeah, and the thing about this game too, Tarvin, is it's really the only what should be, or you know, at least looking in the season to start off with, their only competitive game in before October, because LSU has Towson next, which I didn't know who that is. So you know, this has the makings, at least, you know, we looked at the schedule early in the year, of a trap game for LSU. Obviously, Auburn hasn't played like a team who's ready to trap someone like LSU. But when I looked at the schedule, you know, starting the year off, Tarvin, this looked like the game that Auburn could trap them because of the way the schedule went. You know, first, you know, 1-5 games on the road, and this was it. But we'll see what if Auburn actually can turn around. I don't think it's going to be all that. Just, you know, I think LSU is going to win this one.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right, Trey. And, I mean, you know, I'm going to lose this pick to you if that happens. So I'm going to have to make it up somewhere else.
Yeah, well, you got to make up a lot of ground, Tarvin, because I think I'm going to go ahead and take week one on these picks that we're keeping up with.
All right. Go ahead to the
Tarvin,
next.
Our last four, Tarvin, these all four games are kind of difficult to pick because all of them involve top 25 teams playing each other. So we'll see what you think about number four. It's number 22, Arizona. They're undefeated 3-0, and they're going on the road to the number three, Oregon Ducks, who are also 3-0. Is this a, you know, do the Arizona Wildcats have any shot in Oregon?
None. Zero. None whatsoever. Oregon is cruising along right now. They haven't really played anyone. I think they're ready to get it going against a ranked team. Just Arizona being able to beat Oklahoma State and to bring some credibility back to the Pac-12 is just a little more fuel for Oregon for them coming in. The crowd's going to be rocking. It's a 10:30 Eastern kickoff. I mean, this Oregon offense is explosive, man. I look for them to win by probably 40 points in this
one. Wow, 40 points.
I'm going to go big. Oregon blows them out, man. They're just unstoppable against teams like Arizona. Arizona's defense is not great, man. They're 66th in the nation in passing and 54th against the rush. But Oregon, man, 329 on the ground right now a game, and that's almost 300 in the air as well. So I just look for them to go off.
Well, I mean, Aaron, you off a good point about Arizona. I mean, this is a team that has already beat a ranked team, and they went – you know, of course, it was at home against Oklahoma State, but they scored 59 points against a ranked Big 12 team. The Big 12 looked pretty good this year. They shut out opponent, and it was a South Carolina State. But anytime you shut out somebody, that's pretty good. So, I mean, I think Arizona's a good little club. So, I mean, I like what they're doing. And they struggled in their first week against Toledo. But here's the thing that you need to know is I'm building up Arizona. This is their first road game, Tarvin. And Bo, by the way, Oregon's pretty good. So I think Oregon does win this game big time. So I agree with you, Tarvin. I built them up for just to pull them back down. But I think Oregon wins this game 3 touchdowns and plus against the Wildcats of Arizona.
Good pick. And I think everybody in the chat room agrees with us. Corey says Arizona developed the fake injury defense against Oregon a couple of years ago. I thought that was Cal. So it was Arizona, I guess.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay, so they better be thinking a lot if they want to slow down this offense.
Yeah, I think so. Anybody in the message room got Arizona, Tars?
No. Nobody's got Arizona. So let's move on to the next one.
Number three game, Tarvin. Number 18, Michigan, 2-1 against on the road against undefeated 3-0 Notre Dame.
Wow, I'm gonna, you know, Notre Dame's look great. You know, they're number 11 in the country right now. Michigan played Alabama, and I think everybody's forgetting about Michigan because of that game. Denard Robinson, I think, is going to give Notre Dame some trouble in this game. I think Michigan goes into Notre Dame and pulls off an upset. And I'm not saying that Michigan's a great team or anything. I just think it's a matchup deal. I think Notre Dame, you know, with an emotional win last week on the road, comes back and has a slight hangover. And I just don't think they can stop Denard Robinson. He did a great job last year. Didn't Michigan win that game last year?
Yeah, that was the big, that was the big late game, you know, heroics. Denard Robinson, that was the game that kind of put him on the national stage because of, you know, how well he played down the stretch. That was the game that everybody was like, who is this cat? I mean, so Notre Dame has a little bit of payback possibly in this game, Tarvin.
Yeah, I mean, they do, but, I mean, I look at Michigan. Think about this. You know, they came in and played Alabama. And, I mean, they got beat pretty good, but look at what Alabama's done. You know, just look how good they are. And they got their manhood challenged and questioned, and I think this is a great stage for Denard Robinson to come back against a non-SEC defense and do something.
So, I mean, you think this is going to be a close game, Tarvin, or do you think Michigan State walks away with it?
No, I think Michigan's going to – I mean, it's going to be a close game. And I think Michigan wins by 2 points in this game. And, Trey, before we go, we have a caller. And guess who it is? We're talking about Notre Dame.
Got to be Quinn.
All right. What's up, Quinn?
Hey.
What's going on?
Nothing much. But I'll just say something about the Auburn game first. Is I couldn't go against Auburn either, Tarvin. Even though I think LSU will probably win, I just can't go against Auburn.
No, I understand, man. I understand.
Yeah, and then the Notre Dame game. That I think Notre Dame's due for a win against Michigan. Michigan has beaten Notre Dame quite a few times in a row, so I think Notre Dame's due.
All right, man. Well, we'll check back in Sunday with you and see how our Auburn Tigers do, and we'll see you Sunday night. We're going to the Lions. You're on Way In Sports, 423 area code.
Hey, man. I hope you don't mind that I turned your granddaughter into a members only jacket.
I don't know who that idiot is, but we'll move on, Trey.
I don't even know what that was. He turned somebody's daughter into a member. I don't get what that one is.
I don't know. Let's just move on. I like Michigan in that one.
Well, Tarvin, I'm going to go ahead and agree with Quinn. I think that this is the year. I like the young quarterback at Notre Dame. Notre Dame, the problem I'm having with this game and picking it is Michigan, since the Alabama game, and I know it's against Air Force and UMass, has scored 31 and 63. So they've actually, it seems, at least started to figure out how to get Denard Robinson back to playing, you know, what made him a household name. And Notre Dame hasn't, you know, they scored 50 against Navy, but, you know, I think Penn State scored 50 against Navy. So, you know, I don't make much of that. They scored 20 against Purdue and 20 against Michigan State. So I'm hoping their offense can score more when I pick them, Tarvin. So I think this game is going to be Notre Dame actually scores to 30 and they beat Michigan by a field goal. This is a close game, but I'm going to go against you and pick Notre Dame at home.
Okay. I mean, that's a good pick. but I'm not on the Notre Dame bandwagon just yet, like you and Quinn are.
Well, I'm not saying I'm on the bandwagon, Tarver. I'm just saying that I think that this is their year. They're playing a little bit better. And oh, by the way, I mean, if they do win, we all know that they'll be ranked number two in the country next week.
Okay. They'll be ranked number what next week?
Number two, probably. You know how the AP voters are. I love Notre Dame.
I was thinking number one, man. I think they would pass Alabama if they beat Michigan.
They could. You know how Notre Dame love is.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to our last two, man.
All right, number two, Tarvin. This is a really interesting game. I really want to watch this game. Number 15, Kansas State, 3-0, going to Oklahoma, number six in the country at 2-0. What do you have here?
Same thing as last year, Trey. I mean, Oklahoma – Kansas State has trouble against offenses like Oklahoma's. Oklahoma's had a week to prepare for this game. You know, I mean, they haven't looked good this year, really, especially that first game. Kansas State's coming off a huge win against Miami a couple of weeks ago. So I look for Oklahoma, you know, by a couple of touchdowns in this game. I think the line's 14, and I think it's about right in that game. I think Oklahoma wins by 14 points around in that.
You know, the quarterback for Kansas State, Tarvin, this kid's Klein. Yeah, I think he has the best nickname that I've heard in a long time. They call him Optimus Klein because this kid is good. I mean, he's real good. And I think he may end up being at the ceremony for the Heisman. I don't think he's going to win it. But I think Kansas State and him are going to put together that kind of season this year. But, Tarvin, I totally agree with you. I don't think that he's going to be enough to beat Oklahoma. I think Kansas State gives them all they want, and this game is going to be razor thin in the fourth quarter, Tarvin. I think Landry Jones, because you know I picked him to lead them into the Big 12 title game this year, or excuse me, to win the Big 12 this year in Oklahoma. So I think I keep with my Landry Jones and Oklahoma prediction, but I really do like Optimus Klein for Kansas State. I think it's going to be a real close game, Tarvin.
Yeah, and Lacey's picking, sounds like a Kansas State. Joshua Shaw says K-State in the upset. And Corey says UTEP took Oklahoma to the wire. Lacey also said, did you see the stadium at the beginning of the Miami game? It was pathetic off the game, but, yeah, that was pretty funny. But I think everybody's with us except a couple. Kansas State, you're saying, is going to keep it close. But I remember last year, Trey, Oklahoma went in to Kansas State, won by 41 points, and just demolished them. I just think it's a matchup issue in this game. Kansas State's good against the run, but they're not good against the pass. You saw against Arkansas last year in the bowl game when they played in the Cotton Bowl. I just think they struggle to stop Landry Jones. I just don't think they can do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Landry Jones is going to have a good week this week. I think he's going to play well against Kansas State. He seems to always play well against Kansas State. But I do think Klein is a quarterback who's going to put up some big numbers in this game. I think it's going to be a little bit higher scoring, Tarvin, and I think it's going to be a game that's going to be fun to watch.
All right. Well, I guess this moves to the game that you're ready to discuss, Trey. I'm sure you want to say a few more things.
Yeah, I mean, this game is obviously the game where we're going to see a lot of, as a Florida State fan, I mean, you know, what our season is going to be like. I've been overhyped and over sort of stimulated with Florida State. Hey, this is our year. This is their year. Well, Tarvin, number four in the country, our highest ranking since 2005, starting 3-0, first time since 2005. It was the year that we won the ACC last time. But number 10, Clemson, who's also 3-0, Tarvin, they're coming to town. And I really were really impressed with Taj Boyd. And by the way, this is the first time this year we're going to see Sammy Watkins on the field. So, Tarvin, tell me about this game. What do you think the key matchups of the game are, and what do you have overall?
The key matchup in this game to me is how Florida State controls Sammy Watkins. And, you know, last year, Trey, Sammy Watkins lit up Florida State just like he did everyone else. I think that game last year taught Florida State a lot. You know, I think they realized in order to get to that next level, they have to win this game, and not just win it convincingly. I think the Florida State defense will be too much for Clemson. And everybody likes Clemson. There's a lot of people calling the upset in this game. I think Florida State wins this game convincingly and puts on a defensive clinic in this game, Trey. I'm thinking something like 27-13 maybe. To hold Clemson to 13 points is saying a lot. So I look for Florida State to really flex its muscles and show maybe it belongs up there with the top, the big boys.
Well, you know, the Florida State fan of me loves to hear that, Tarvin. I mean, but at the same point, and I know that you said, you know, last week you're like, man, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, here's what I saw from the offense last week against Wake Forest. E.J. Manuel looked out of step with his receivers. He didn't throw the deep ball very well. His timing was off of the receivers. And that comes with the fact that E.J. Manuel has thrown, like, you know, I know I'm exaggerating, like 10 passes all year long because they haven't played anybody. So,
52-0, Trey. 52-0.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, he was out of the game at halftime. So, but, you know, that's all great, Tarvin, that they did that in the first three games, and that's the old Florida State. But he also didn't get his work in that he's going to need it, because Clemson's not going to be a game where A.J. Manuel is going to be able to rest, because that game is going to be into the fourth quarter and it's going to be a dogfight. So that concerns me. When I was watching the tape of Florida State, when I was watching, you know, the offense, certainly the offensive scheme, I love their new running scheme. I know that Florida State has said, E.J. Manuel said they've used less than 10% of the playbook. I don't know if that's true or if it's just hype. But, you know, on the other end, Tarvin, the defense has been old school impressive for Florida State. I mean, they lost two defensive linemen already to the year, and it doesn't look like you could tell. I mean, Tank Carradine has filled in amazingly on that line. He had a great game against Wake Forest. I think the defense is top five in college football this year. I think that alone is going to be a key matchup. I think Xavier Rhodes in the secondary, Tarvin, he's going to be the guy who they put on Sammy Watkins. I hope they learn their lesson, because Sammy Watkins lit them up like a Roman candle last year. So hopefully they learn their matchup well last year and have the tape on Sammy Watkins. I think Florida State wins this, Tarvin. I think it's super close. I think 27-24. But Florida State at home is the difference this year, and they actually get over that Clemson hump.
Well, I mean, Florida State, and people, I think people will realize this. When you talk about Florida State's defense, you have to put them up there with the LSUs and Alabamas, because I think if there's one team that could sneak into that game and give the SEC fits, it would be Florida State, not the Florida State of old. I'm thinking the Florida State now with the defense they have. The offensive line last year struggled. They were young. You know, they played a lot of young players, and now they're looking better. I think your quarterback, Trey, you got to give him a little more credit than what you're giving him, because I think he's going to show people this game that he is ready to lead them to the promised land. But the problem I have with Florida State, Trey, after this game, how is Florida State going to perform if they do beat Clemson? Are they going to lay an egg to North Carolina or a Georgia Tech or someone?
Well, I mean, that's been the problem with Florida State in the past. I mean, I think since 2005, Tarvin, Florida State hasn't gotten out of September with a loss. I mean, that's for a team that's supposed to be, you know, this, you know, national powerhouse, which Florida State, you know, claims we are. We certainly, you can't lose games in September, Tarvin, because it certainly doesn't make your November games all that much meaningful if you're already losing games. They lost three in a row last year. They you know, E.J. Manuel got hurt against Oklahoma, and then they lost two more. So, you know, you really do worry, Tarvin. If Clemson does beat Florida State, I probably see them maybe losing to South Florida or NC State, because it seems like that's what Florida State happens to them. But, you know, they have two road games after this, Tarvin, so they got to win this one.
Well, look at Auburn and Clemson. I don't know if you watched that game a lot up close like I did. And Corey in the chat room said Florida State's going to kill Taj Boyd. Auburn got pressure on Taj Boyd all night. The problem with Auburn is they couldn't wrap up, Trey. And I think that will not be a problem for Florida State, especially being at home. I just really think this is the statement game for Florida State. This is a huge game. College game day is going to be there. A night game. I can't wait to see the horse ride out and then stick the arrow in the ground or whatever. I love that tradition, Trey. So
yeah.
I just don't think Taj Boyd is that quarterback that can go on the road in Tallahassee and win. They got lucky to win last year at home against Florida State. Florida State played terrible at times, but Trey, this is going to get ugly, man.
Well, I mean, this is the year, Tarvin, that Florida State has the talent. I mean, the defense is amazingly deep, and you're right. This is a defense that's going to wrap up. I mean, if you watched early in the game of the Wake Forest game, because it was on TV, they were destroying running backs coming through the hole. I mean, this is going to be a hard-hitting game. So I think if you're a college football fan, you want to see a good hard-hitting defense, you're probably going to want to tune in, because however this game goes for Florida State, they're going to stick some guys.
Chad Stevenson in the chat room is saying Clemson over Florida State by 6. I think he's the only one in the chat room that's picked Florida, that's picked Clemson. So, Chad, if you win that game, man, you're all alone.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason why you want to make those picks against us, because, you know, Chad would probably pick up a game against everybody there. So, Chad, make sure you send us that on Way In Sports on Facebook or Twitter, because that may be a big game for you to pick up on everybody and maybe co-hosting the show with us next time.
Yeah, man. Next Wednesday is going to be a huge show, but, you know, excuse me, my headphone fell out. But looking at the other games, Trey, is there any other game out there in college that just to get your attention that's not didn't make our list?
Well, I mean, I think if you had to look at the schedule in a whole, I don't see any upsets in the top 25, Tarvin, out of any other games that we didn't pick. I mean, I just don't see any other matchups where a top 25 has a shot to lose. Do you think there might be a trap game out there for somebody?
Not really looking at it, but I did want your opinion and everyone in the chat rooms on this game. Arkansas is at home playing Rutgers. A lot of people out there are calling this upset, Trey, that Rutgers beats Arkansas. And looking at their first or last two games, it really wouldn't be an upset, would it? If Rutgers came in, Rutgers looked good. Do you think they have any shot of beating Arkansas?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this last week when we talked about Arkansas's struggles. I think this is a game that Rutgers can win. And this would be a huge win for Rutgers. I mean, a lot of people think because they lost, you know, Shano, that Rutgers is all, that's all they had. But this is a team that actually has some talent. And we don't know if, based on Arkansas' second half performance against Alabama, Tarvin, if they have the fortitude to win this game if they get down. Because, I mean, they quit against Alabama. Who says they won't quit against Rutgers?
Exactly, and Lacey just made a funny comment that reminded me of something in the chat room, that Florida Atlantic plays Alabama this week, and a defensive player for Florida Atlantic said Alabama is nothing special, you know, they're beatable, they're not, and I looked at the point spread, and they're 50-point underdogs, right? So
yeah.
Is there a chance that Alabama could slip up on Florida Atlantic? He said the speed of Florida Atlantic is going to fool Alabama and give them the advantage. What do you think about this?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I'd rather hear that than I think when you and I talked about the coach who was saying we have no shot, it was like Cal's coach or whatever, going into a game. I'd rather have a little swagger from Florida Atlantic coming in, you know, for Alabama. I mean, at least have it now because they're not going to have it after the game, Tarvin. Alabama is going to destroy Florida Atlantic. They're gonna roll like a hurricane through Florida Atlantic. It's going to, I mean, they're going to just, I mean, it's not going to be close, Tarvin. It's going to be ginormously lopsided.
Not so fast, my friend. Florida Atlantic comes into T-Town and gets beat by 60 points. I mean, they're gonna get pimp slapped. Probably by halftime, it'll be 49-0. Alabama, the thing about them, and a lot of people pick against Alabama when they play teams like this. And the problem is, I used to be one of them, is Alabama's second, third, fourth string is better than these teams, and they're all battling for position, Trey. So when they come into the game, they're wanting to play. They're wanting to hit. They're wanting to not ease up, and that's what happens. A lot of other teams get up big. They bring their backups in, and it evens out the game a little bit, but not Alabama. They're just in another league right now. So Florida Atlantic, I wouldn't be trash-talking Alabama. I'd just be begging for mercy right now to get out with a 40-point defeat and have my pride left.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're Florida Atlantic, you just want to cover the spread.
Yeah, I mean, 50 points, and and that's being gracious, because Alabama, you know, Saban, he doesn't seem like he likes to beat the teams like that too much, because it gives more credibility to the media that's telling the players that, hey, Florida Atlantic sucks. And I think Saban sometimes might take it easy on teams like that a little bit, but I don't know. It's just going to be a funny game to see. I just want to see that player. I want to find his number and his name again and circle him and kind of watch that game and see how he plays. So I'm just ready to see it.
He better put his helmet on tight.
Yeah, looking through the other games, Georgia's at home playing Vanderbilt. I don't think Georgia will have any trouble in that game between the hedges. Just looking at it, Southern Cal playing California home. I think Southern Cal bounces back and beats them. But what about Georgia Tech is at home, Trey, favored 14.5 over Miami. What do you think of that one?
I think Miami is going to come back and play. They always seem to play Georgia Tech pretty closely, so it's going to be a close game. I think Georgia Tech wins it, but it's not going to be a 14-point game.
And then Cuervo in the chat room, he's a big Vol fan. Tennessee's at home, favorite 35 over Akron, Trey. What do you think?
Akron is not going to – they don't have a shot.
Yeah, I don't think so. Nebraska – a big game against Idaho State. I'm sure Nathan's on pins and needles right now waiting for that one, trying to get their confidence back. I wish Auburn could play on Idaho State one time to get some confidence, but it's going to be a while. Just looking at it, I don't really see anything. Florida 24 over Kentucky. But I mean, we've touched the main games, I think, Trey, the most interesting games out there. So you did a great job picking those games this week. Hitting all the good games and upset possibilities. So it'll be an interesting show Sunday night to see who wins. And again, just like Trey said, go to our Weigh In Sports message board on Facebook. Go to our Weigh In Sports page if you need to and pick these games. We're picking winners, not point spreads. So just do 1 through 5, put your team that you think is going to win. That's all we need. We don't need who they're playing against. Just put your winner and let's move on from that. Trey, any final remarks before we go tonight?
Chad Steven asked what my prediction was on LSU and Auburn. I predicted LSU winning the game. I do want to ask you this before we go real quick. And we didn't mention this last week because, I mean, there's hardly a reason to mention Kentucky on the show, but they got beat by a Sun Belt team last week. So let me ask you this. When does the old Joker get fired?
He's already fired, Trey. He just doesn't know it yet. Hey, Trey, before you go, we do have a caller in the queue from 213 area code. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this and where are you from?
Hey, Brian. It's just Cuervo listening in. How you guys doing?
Hey, Cuervo.
Good. What's going on, man?
Oh, not a whole lot. I was just listening to you guys. You guys were talking about games to watch out for. I put it in the chat room. Just something to throw out there. I'm looking at that TCU-Virginia game. I'm not saying the upset's going to happen. However, just a game to look out for, guys.
Okay. Yeah, good thing. Yeah. Trey likes Virginia in a close one, or he likes TCU to win in a very close one. Just watching Virginia, Cuervo, I just don't put a lot of stock into him yet. I thought they were going to be very good this year, looking at their bowl game last year and what they did last year, but it just something's not right with Virginia. It's just not clicking yet.
No, it's not. You're right. And I mean, everybody looked at that win against Penn State. However, I mean, what can you really say about that? I mean, how much credit should you give yourself with a win like that? But I mean, it's still, though, regardless, Virginia is an ACC team. So it's not like they're in one of those cupcake conferences. So, you know, it's just a game to watch out for, and not a lot of people are talking about it.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll do our show Saturday morning. We'll pick some of these games, Cuervo, but I hope everything's good with you. And I know you're hurt with the Vols lost the other night, but they'll rebound, hopefully, for you.
Oh, boy. I tell you, you know, here's my thought on it real quick, guys, because I know you're trying to get out of here. And I'll talk about it more on Saturday morning on campus with Cuervo. As Brian mentioned, he likes to, get his opinions in with me. So be sure to look out for that. But You know, it's one thing, guys, when to see your team lose, okay? Unless you're a fan of Alabama or something like that, you know, everybody suffers a loss during the season, and even Alabama loses. But the thing I have a problem with, guys, is, and I don't know if anybody else felt this way or feels this way, but it just seemed to me like Tennessee, once that long run, that long touchdown run that Florida got to tie the game up, it just felt to me like Tennessee just gave up on themselves after that. They quit. And that I have a problem with that. You can lose a game. However, if you're going to quit on yourself, I personally have a problem with that. And that's the thing that upset me the most. It's just the fact that I felt that Tennessee just gave up on themselves. And that raises the question, you know, how's the coaching over there with Derek Dooley? You know, what is he teaching these guys? Just sit on a lead, or is he teaching them to, you know, play every down, you know, at 100%? And right now it's looking like, you know, and Tennessee does this all the time. They, you know, they play great in the first half. They're a first-half team. And in the second half, they just lay down. So that's what I have a problem with. And, it upset me a lot. And I'm tired of seeing Tennessee lose to Florida. But for them, the way they lost this year in particular, it really ticked me off.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the Tennessee fans that I'm talking to have the same sentiments as you. It's like they quit. And when you see a team quit, Cuervo, and trust me, I've seen it with my own eyes and my own team, the first thing you have to look at is coaching. I mean, that's what you look at. And Tennessee, high hopes, you know, college game day there, and your team quits at home against the biggest rival they have. That's coaching. And I think if Dooley is not careful, you know, he's on the hot seat anyway, but he could be out this year. And there's several other coaches. Like if Auburn plays LSU this weekend and they quit, I mean, I think you have to look at the coaching staff in that, Cuervo. You have to look at it because the kid, look at Saban, the way he coaches at Alabama. They don't quit because he won't let them. And I think these coaches, Dooley and some other ones, you know, a disciple of Saban or Satan, whichever one you could say, you know, he needs to teach his guys the same way. And I was disappointed in that, Trey. I don't know if you got to see that part of it or not, but Tennessee just quit in that game.
Yeah, I mean, that was disappointing because, I mean, I thought Tennessee was going to get over the hump in that game. But anytime you see a team quit like that, you really got to question the entire makeup of the team because it wasn't like Florida was, you know, dominating that game in a way that would make you quit. I mean, it was still a relatively, you know, competitive game in the fourth quarter. It wasn't like, you know, a 52-0 game. You know, this was a game that Tennessee should have been playing hard to the fourth quarter and to the final whistle the way, you know, Greg Schiano has the Tampa Bay Bucks playing for the final snap. You know, I like that from a team. I want to see it.
But Cuervo, you're a big Vols fan. So is the Vols Nation wanting Dooley gone right now?
Yeah, you know what? Some of the people I've been talking to, Brian, yes. A lot of people feel that Derek Dooley's not the right guy for the job. However, this is what I asked him. Everybody's, you know, ready to point the finger at Derek Dooley, but here's the question I have for those of all fans out there. Okay, you want Derek Dooley gone? Who would you have replace him? Who's going to step in and do a better job that's available in your opinion? You're not going to get anybody from another school. You're not going to get Nick Saban from Alabama. You're not going to get Gene Chizik from Auburn. You're not going to get any of those other SEC guys. You know, rumor was that Tennessee was going to get Will Muschamp, but then he turned around and went to Florida. So that's the question I have for Tennessee fans. You want Derek Dooley out so badly? Okay, who do you think should take over? Who do you think Tennessee should go out there and hire? Who would you replace him with?
I've been hearing Bobby Petrino's name, Cuervo mentioned.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Tennessee should mess with that, but, I mean, it's a viable candidate. You know, one personally, guys, you know who I would love to see coach the Tennessee Vols? And I know it's not going to happen. I know it's not going to happen, but there is there is a connection with one John Gruden down there in Tennessee. His wife is a Tennessee alumni, so that it kind of ties into it. They go, you know, to each other. So, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think he's happy with the job that he has, you know, doing Monday Night Football with ESPN and things like that. But I'll tell you what, you want to talk about discipline, you want to talk about a team that will not quit. John Gruden would be a great coach, I think, for the Vols.
And also Peyton Manning could come in and be a coordinator for y'all maybe one day when he quits playing for the Broncos. I think he would do a great job of recruiting, because what kid wouldn't want to come play for Peyton Manning and be quarterback? And if you could get somebody like Gruden there, I think that would be great. I would like to see how he would do in college. You know, I love Gruden. I think I like Chucky, they call him. So, but Dooley, if I'm a Tennessee fan, I'm not giving up just yet. I mean, you look good against NC State. You lost to a Florida team that's actually better than what people thought they were, better than I thought. I have to give Florida credit. They're an easy candidate now to win the East just by watching the development of their quarterback. So, but that doesn't excuse the fact that Tennessee quit, though. And that was the problem I'm seeing from Tennessee fans. So I think Dooley, give him some time. Give him this year to see what he can do with this team. I mean, I think Trey and I both predicted 8 or 9 wins for Tennessee. I can't remember the exact number. I think I did 9 games with a bowl win. So if he wins 9 games, Cuervo, would that be good enough for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to see Tennessee, you know, at least make a bowl game. I don't think anybody's expecting, you know, BCS or even a national championship for that matter. But I think, too, at the same time, guys, give it a couple weeks. I think a lot of Tennessee fans are just overreacting. You know, Tennessee's loss to Florida is now, I think, 8 years in a row now. So are we Vol fans frustrated with that? Absolutely, we are. And we say the same thing every year after this game. Get rid of this guy. Get rid of that guy. And we overreact. Give it a couple weeks, okay? Tennessee still has a lot of opportunities to get back into the top 25 later on this year. They still got to play Georgia. They still got to play Alabama. They still got to play LSU this year. Maybe I'm wrong. But I know they play South Carolina. They still have to play. They play Mississippi State, who's number 23. So they've got 4 weeks in a row after this Akron game to play ranked teams and have the opportunity to maybe get back into that top 25. So 3 out of those 4 games are against top 10 teams. So, guys, Tennessee has the opportunity. It's just, you know, did they learn their lesson against Florida, and are they going to play a full 4-quarter game? And that's going to be the question.
Yep, it's going to be interesting to see, and we will follow that closely. So, Cuervo, thank you for the call, sir.
Oh, yeah, no problem, Brian. I appreciate it. And, you know, for all your listeners, please let them know about On Campus with Cuervo. 10 o'clock Eastern, Saturday morning, we'll be ready to rock and roll. We're going to talk anything and everything college football, you know, Heisman candidates. Is Matt Barkley no longer in the Heisman talk? You know, we'll talk a little bit about that. So anything and everything college football.
Well, all right, man. Look forward to it, and we'll see you Saturday, bud. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
No problem. Take care, guys.
All right, you too, bud. Well, Trey, you know, candidate people are putting out there in the chat room, good one, Charlie Strong for Louisville. That's an interesting name. And also Kirby Smart from Alabama. Any chance Kirby Smart leaves Alabama in that protection of Nick Saban right now, hoping that when Saban leaves, he gets that job?
Oh, I think he absolutely leaves. I mean, Saban's not going to – Saban could be there for 10 years. I mean, Kirby Smart's not going to hang around. I mean, you know, he's the kind of – you know, Nick Saban's right now just spinning off his disciples the way Belichick did, you know, for the Patriots for years. So, you know, I think Kirby Smart goes out and gets him a job. I don't know if he goes straight to the SEC or he does like Charlie Strong did, but – I think Charlie Strong is probably the best coach I've seen out there who is probably ready to make the jump in the SEC, and he's the kind of coach, Tarvin, that I think would have any team he comes to in the SEC competing, you know, recruiting-wise and even getting his team ready for, you know, national championships, and he's a really legitimate coach, Tarvin.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's using the opportunity to coach under Nick Saban to get, you know, his name out there, because when you see Alabama, you think of defense and Nick Saban, but Kirby Smart's trying to make it to where you think about him as well. So think about, I mean, he's getting a lot of exposure and experience learning how to be a head coach, learning, you know, taking notes from one of the best. And a lot of people don't like Saban, but, you know, he's a winner. He knows how to win football games and prepare his team. So he's doing the smart thing right now. Instead of jumping ship to a small school to be a head coach, I think he could end up at an SEC school right away if he wanted to. So I think he's doing the right thing right now staying at Alabama, because a lot of people thought he would go back home to Georgia and take Rick's place when he was on the hot seat.
Yeah, I think you'll see Kirby Smart jump ship in the next year or two, Tarvin, but I think it'll be to like a Big East school, maybe, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe a Big 12, something like that. And I don't think he'll jump to the SEC right away, but he's the kind of guy who will, you know, do like Charlie Strong did, you know, go to Louisville, something like that.
Yeah, Corey made a good point, too. Didn't think UT would gamble on Smart because he's unproven. In schools like Tennessee, they want proven coaches. You know, Dooley wasn't proven, really, and they took a chance on him. Kiffin wasn't proven, and look what happened. So I think Corey's exactly right when he said they're going to go after a proven coach. And, I mean, Tennessee's a great job, Trey. It's not like it's a bad job. These guys are fanatical about their football. Their stadium's huge. I mean, Tennessee is a great place to coach. Do you agree?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're a big-time program.
Yeah, I mean, it's not – I mean, I think people underestimate Tennessee. So one more question before we go, Trey. What would you think about Bobby Petrino? I've heard whispers of Bobby Petrino could be at Auburn by January to replace Gene Chizik. Do you think Auburn would ever hire that piece of garbage to be their coach?
I don't think Auburn's going to get rid of Chizik this year. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I just think Chizik's a great man right now, and I want to give him this year to recruit again and for next year. If Auburn comes out next year, Trey, and looks like they do now, then I say, okay, it's time to make a change. But do not bring Bobby Petrino in here on his Harley Davidson with a couple of blondes riding the back. I mean, what does that say about your program? You're willing to – I mean, Petrino's a good coach. He knows how to win games, but I think Auburn would be making a huge mistake to bring somebody like that into their program after what's happened. Chizik's been there for Auburn. He stood behind them, beside them, whatever. And he's done a great job at Auburn. His development of players is the question mark. So we'll see how that goes. But Trey's been a great show, man. Great show, and thanks to everybody in the chat room. Cloud Nation Radio out there listening. I don't know who you are, but thanks for listening. I'll check you out. Cuervo, thanks. Corey, Bruce, Brian Burgess, Alderson, Lacey, and Trey Patterson, thank you for listening. I thought Ricketts was going to call in tonight and see us, but obviously something came up with him. So, Quinn, thanks for listening in all night, bud. We appreciate you. And Sunday night we're going to do our show 9 p.m. Eastern. We'll be rocking, man. Hopefully we'll have a guest or two come on, but we have to go over all these predictions and recap all of these games, Trey, so I'm excited.
Yeah, just, you know, get us on those picks, and, you know that we're working on getting some big-name guests on. We got, a obviously a big-time NFL player, and I'm working on a couple other things too, Tarvin. I'll tell you about later on, but, you know the show is we're going to get some guys in here to talk football for you.
Exactly. I'm excited about our NFL interview we have coming up next week, and it's going to be a big-time show. So make sure to tell everyone, guys. It took us a lot of work to get this interview. So tell everybody to listen in next Wednesday night for sure, and especially this Sunday just to be there to review our picks. But we're looking to bring some big guests in here, and so we're going to keep continuing to do that. So tell all your friends, all your coworkers that love sports, spread the link, spread the news. And again, thank you all so much for spending your Wednesday night with us, and have fun. What's this lady speaking in my voice, Trey? It disrupts me sometimes, but have fun watching your team win this week, hopefully, and be safe this weekend. Do not be like Michael Turner. Do not drink and drive. So,
all right, buddy. Have a good day.
All right, everybody. See you later.